This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Thanks for being here as we cover lots of different topics. And, of course, every week we have a few conversations with lawmakers that represent parts of Douglas County because the Oregon State Legislature, obviously in session right now. State Senator David Brocksmith joining us from Salem. And, David, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle.
So a number of things come to mind. One of the things I wanted to start out with, you put a release out Friday afternoon regarding a piece of legislation that you've put out there along with Representative Reschke of the Klamath Falls area that you call the Oregon Education Reform Act. Tell us more about it.
Well, thank you so much, Kyle. Yes, I worked with Representative Reschke on this omnibus education bill that does a number of things. You know, as you know, our schools in Douglas County are fantastic, and our superintendent is great. We have great educators, but that's not the case all across the state. And there's a number of things that get in the way of education, such as, you know, the ridiculous idea of putting feminine products in boys' bathrooms. But there's also, so the bill addresses that. The bill addresses an income tax for teachers in our rural school districts because it's hard enough to get teachers in our rural communities. The cost of living is, and lack of housing is always an issue there. And so this would give a minor income tax credit to those rural teachers, similar to what we give to rural nurses and healthcare providers. It also requires public schools and community colleges and public universities to provide instruction in a neutral manner. Prohibits the State Board of Education from adopting rules that promote a stance or otherwise show support or enhance political movement or group. Because in too many schools across our state, mainly in our more populated areas in the state, such as Portland, we've seen it in a number of videos and reports online where teachers are pushing their political views onto our students, and that isn't what education is about. The next segment of the omnibus bill is, of course, follows President Trump's executive order and requires a school district to designate athletic competitions and extracurricular activities according to biological sex, and prohibits biological males from participating in athletic competitions or extracurricular sports designated for biological females. What's happening and what's happened in Oregon, as a matter of is a travesty, really. I mean, here you have these female athletes that have studied and worked, many of which all their lives, only to have their hopes dashed away by a biological male that decides to compete in a biological female sport. I've always been interested in Roseburg High School does this. They have a school resource peace officer in their districts, and frankly, the bill would allow for school resource officers in every school district to be funded, because I truly believe it not only promotes safety, but really it promotes the relationship between our students and our youth and law enforcement in greater opportunity, with greater opportunity to, for them to understand and interact that so many students and our youth, especially again in our urban areas, are afraid of law enforcement officers for whatever reason, be it in their personal life or home life. This would allow for peace officers to help keep our students safe as well as have positive interactions within their school day. The other piece of the omnibus ensures licensure pathways to bolster career and technical education for teachers. We have problems in our rural school districts For example, in a Port Orford Langley School District, we don't have the students to have a full-time shop or wood shop or metals teacher or what have you, but you have to have a certificate in order to do so. In our smaller districts, it would be great if a teacher that understands wood shop and doesn't have to be dual certified, but can teach English five classes, you know, a day, and then wood shop one, or if we can bring in a contractor that has the opportunity to get a special certification to go and teach that wood shop class one or two days a week. So we're just trying to loosen up those issues with our small rural schools. It also would forbid OHA from acquiring COVID-19 immunizations for our school students for attendance. It directs the school district to provide notice to a parent or guardian within 24 hours when a student under 18 has been subject to an act of harassment, intimidation, or bullying, an act of cyberbullying, a disciplinary action, a visit to the school health professional or a school-based health center, or has had a discussion of self-identity issues with any teacher or staff or health professional at the school. We have issues of bullying a lot in our school systems, and this is trying to direct that notification to our parents so their parents understand what's happening to their students or to their kids while they're away from them for 6 to 8 hours while they're in school. And then it also directs the school boards to ensure that curriculum of each course of study is made available on the school district's website, and directs the school districts to ensure that a student's grades are posted on a website that is accessible by the parent or guardian of the student. I think it's critically important that our parents know what their students are being taught in each of their classes, and that curriculum that the teacher is teaching should be able to post that online for parents to review. And so they know when the kid comes home and when their child comes home and they want to sit around the dinner table, if they want to be and engage their student, their child, in what happened in school and class, they have a better understanding on what the curriculum is that the student is learning. And then finally, it provides an income tax credit for families that homeschool or pay for private school tuition with proof of attendance and, of course, passing grades that is equal to the local general purpose grant or ADM under ORS. So that if we, because we have a number of our students that attend, of course, private schools in Douglas County and or our homeschool, those parents are taking great care of their homeschoolers, but they're also, of course, paying for private school for some of their children as well. And they should receive those tax dollars don't follow the student. Every student, of course, has a number associated with them that goes to the school district for their student to be in attendance. And so I'm trying to level the playing field for those folks that want to choose private schools or homeschools for their kids.
So obviously a lot of different elements in here. A lot of these will be probably not received as well by the other side of the aisle. What kind of response have you heard so far?
Well, the response from the majority of the constituents and folks has been very positive. They appreciate the level of detail, understand that getting these type of things in a clear message to teachers and to parents and to students will help build a path for academic excellence in this state. And so I look forward to making sure that we have conversations with my colleagues across the aisle to get a public hearing on this piece of legislation so that we can discuss this out in the open in that public hearing and bring in the support to see if we can move the needle in getting it passed.
Now, speaking of education in Oregon, in some prior sessions, as the discussion got into budgets, sometimes education was the first thing to be funded. Where's the education budget process at this point?
Well, it's not. We've always, of course, the Republicans have always wanted to move the needle and fund education and public safety first in the budget process here in the state. That is not met by the majority. What I feel in my time here in the legislature since 2017 is the education budget is a political football at the end of session. I hope that won't be the case, but we're on week seven here, and so I don't sit on any of the education committees at the moment in the Senate, but I'm hopeful that we'll be moving that education budget forward and getting the resources. But when we do so, we also need the reforms that are necessary, because we've been putting more money into the education budget in this state than we ever had before. In fact, when we did so, the Portland Public School System, went on strike for the first time because they wanted more of those resources. So I'm very concerned that as we continue to move those dollars, more dollars to education, without the needed reforms, that some of which we discussed in that previous legislation that I talked about, that those dollars aren't going to really student learning. So I look forward to those conversations as we move forward in the budget process.
All right, we're going to take a break at Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. State Senator David Brock-Smith live from Salem. The interview a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1247 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1249 and News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Lars Larson at 1 o'clock. Tomorrow, a conversation with the state director of the National Association for Mental Illness, Chris Bouneff, is going to be spending parts, at least, of a couple of days in Roseburg talking to a number of organizations. We were alerted to his being here, so we're going to talk about the help that's available for those with mental illness and what the organization does on tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. State Senator David Brock-Smith on with us this afternoon. A lot of different things to get to today. Revenue forecast was out last week. Mixed reaction to that. What were your thoughts once the numbers came out?
I'm very concerned, Kyle. I mean, revenues are still up, but it's definitely slowing down. And that has a great concern. I mean, we're not a business-friendly state. We continue to look at taxing our industries that of course, employ people, that, of course, pay taxes into the state. And, in fact, there's a bill up this week for a new tax on tires to create more bureaucracy. And so I am very concerned about the revenue forecast because, as we know, we're from other data sources, we're losing residents in Oregon. Probably if that trend continues, we'll lose the additional congressional seat that we achieved in 2020 with the 2020 census. So I'm very concerned about the revenue forecast as we move forward in the state.
Now, is there anything more on the wildfire map issue? I mean, we've covered that a lot, but I wanted to see kind of where things stand at this point.
Yep. I had a meeting again this morning going over an amendment, working with Senator Robinson on Senate Bill 678, so that we can repeal those wildfire maps and protect our property owners. I know that Senator Golden himself is working on piece of legislation, as well as House Majority Leader Christine Drazen. And her piece of legislation is pretty much aligned with mine. And so once we should have that information, hopefully by midweek, if not by Thursday, so that we can introduce that amendment and then call for the chair to hold a hearing on Senator Robinson's bill.
As we've seen so much fast movement in the federal level and many changes, and in terms of funding being cut to a variety of things, We've talked about this before, but it seems to be kind of a moving target with a number of projects in Oregon needing partial federal funding, oftentimes the majority of federal funding. Might that shift stall a bunch of things out in the state in the coming couple of years?
You know, I don't see it that way, Kyle. I think that you're having what President Trump is doing is really assessing those projects and staff. I think that once we get the lay of the land, we have the opportunity to then talk about why these projects are important. I do know of some staff on, for example, of NOAA, that have received their notice, pink slip notice. We do have some oyster, you know, issues with regards to NOAA's working on ocean acidification with their oysters for oyster growers along the coast. That's critically important. So as we, as I hear of these things, reach out to, of course, our federal delegation to discuss those issues and see where we can go. I was very excited to see the president's executive order on our federal timber industry over the weekend. It's critically important that we have those reforms across the landscape, as you know, and as I've said many a times to you here, you know, on the 10-year average from 13 to 23 in Oregon, 82% of the acres burned on the landscape are on federal lands, and on the acres of the 18% of acres burned on private timber, private lands, 15% of those acres were burned because of fires that came off the federal lands and burned acres on private land. And of the 3% of fires that start on private land, 98% of those acres burned or kept to less than 100 acres because they're managed resource. And so, as you know, we discussed my new appointment to the Council of State Governments West, which includes states from Wyoming to Alaska and Hawaii, to our new subcommittee on wildfire and emergency preparedness. I look forward to working with my colleague, co-chair from Nevada, as we work with the federal government and our state legislators, but as well as their federal delegations in those western states, to really move forward needed reforms across the federal forest landscape. We know what works. We know we can employ people in our rural communities. We know we can get the work done, get resources to not only our local mills, but also our counties and cities, like we used to have pre-90s, pre-mid-80s, with the spotted owl. And I'm very hopeful, and I'm grateful for President Trump with his push on the federal forest landscape and what we can do with it to move forward for a more resilient rural communities in Oregon and across the West.
Now, any idea of a timeline for this to make a direct impact, given that there's so many things to deal with on this kind of an issue?
I don't, but I know that that individuals, you know, such as Commissioner Freeman, and of course Commissioner Boyce and Commissioner Press and others, Commissioner Trost from Curry County, are deeply engaged in this issue and working with the USFS and the BLM. I believe that they're going to be, you know, having meetings that I look forward to be plugged into as well in the coming weeks. To see how I can assist them in moving the needle. So I'm hopeful that it'll be a quick turnaround. I mean, let's face it, Kyle, we import in Oregon 25% of our raw logs from Canada. It's ridiculous when we have abundancy all around us, especially when we burn 1.9 million acres in 2024.
Just a minute left. Any movement on housing issues in the legislature?
Yes, last week we had... myself, Senator Anderson, and Senator Nash have similar housing bills to open up housing on outside of the UGBs. Of course, the governor just put out a press release, as we discussed earlier, in regards to a piece of legislation that she is working on, House Bill 2138, to help with some housing legislation that we were able to pass in the last session. So housing, of course, is a big push. I have a couple pieces of legislation that have already had hearings. One's a pilot program for workforce housing for people to purchase. And so as we continue to move forward with the legislative session, of course, housing, natural resources, wildfire mitigation is top priority.
So what's ahead in the next few days for you?
It's a busy week. We have lots of bills of concern. Senate Bill 1098 had a hearing for this morning, for example, that essentially doesn't allow local libraries or local librarians in school districts to ban books that might be, you know, pornographic in nature. It's ridiculous. We were able to stop it in 2023. Senator Frederick has brought it back. I'm hoping we're able to kill it again. But there is a list of about 25 bad bills or more this week. You know, from unions being able to double dip with unemployment to a number of different things. But Kyle, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much.
All right. State Senator David Brock Smith, live from Salem, 1259 News Radio, 93.9 FM, 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.